I actually want to reference this article here because I saw this on LinkedIn.
Okay.
And it says influencer Glassdoor exposes how illiterate marketers can be.
Right.
Right. I think
I love that.
Very interesting article because a lot of those reviews are not from PR agencies or people who are involved in influencer marketing or the social media world. A lot of them are just business owners who expected maybe something more from collaboration. And to mix that up with the PR marketing world, it's dangerous.
That is a good point. I never really thought about that. Yeah. Because now that I'm reading it, I feel like they are written by clients. And there is a vast majority of posts about like my friends, right, just not replying their emails. Okay. Like, how often do you not reply these emails? Hey, I want to collaborate. A lot of times I just skip them, you know, because you don't even tell me what your product is or like whatever. You don't seem serious. You sound like you cannot afford me anyway. So I'm not
It's true.
Yeah, why should I waste my time? You crazy, yeah? Yeah.
And we'll get into that a little bit more later. Code of conduct for influencers, whether it's okay or not to ignore stuff like that. But in this article, it's very interesting because it says, you know, if it's true that you expected more, right? Why didn't you use Social Blade in the first place? As someone buying media, it's your job to protect your company and do due diligence.
Right. Yep.
And if sometimes you can just hire an influencer through a media agency to protect yourself and to make sure everything is professional. But if you go contact the influencer yourself, most of the time that happens, right? Yeah. Then you need to do your own due diligence. And correct. I feel like a lot of those people who posted the comments and reviews did not necessarily do that, and it comes across as they are expecting more than they should. And also when you complain that someone has fake followers, right? I think you know, it also reflects on yourself to choose someone with fake followers. Yeah. I mean, you could have done more work to done more research.
Exactly. Yeah, this is lazy work at the end of the day, you know?
But of course, fake followers are bad and it's just not ethical.
And it's true.
It can really trick people with who have good intentions for their businesses, or maybe they like you, maybe their kids are a fan of you, and then...
Well, that means you have at least some...
at least one kid, right?
Yeah. Wow. Speaking of that fake followers thing, have y'all heard about the An Affair with Love? An Affair with Food thing?
No.
Okay, so there was this like saga recently. I don't know if I have the full details disclaimer first. So this is the watered down version from what I heard from other people as well. So what happened was this brand, they sell frozen food, right? Like CP and stuff like that. And I think it's just a small little company. And they wanted to send food to an influencer called An Affair with Food, And then the owner wrote this like long IG stories about the influencer and how horrible it is to work the influencer, and she claimed that the influencer also has fake followers, right? And then the obvious question is, she said, oh, how is it possible that you have so many followers but your engagement is so low, your likes are so low, blah blah blah. I'm just like, shouldn't you have done your due diligence first, right?
Then why did you choose them?
Yeah, and clearly you know engagement. This influencer, so she's not that unwell known lah, okay? So anyway, so she's like, then she said that I worked with her, she was very rude and unprofessional, blah blah blah. And she said that every time somebody reposts my IG story to flame this influencer, there was like 10 IG stories she posted. And I would give a free packet of freeze pack nuggets to whoever reposts my IG story. So obviously a lot of people repost. Actually, freeze pack nuggets are very delicious. I would have reposted. it's a good bribe, you know. So anyway, the influencer came out to clarify what happened. And from what I knew was that they actually sent frozen food to the influencer. So now, for example, I'm the brand. I'm going to send you like $50 worth of frozen food. You are supposed to post it for me, right? And the agreement was that initially the influencer asked for money and payment, but in the end she decided, never mind, I'll do it for you for free in exchange for the food, right? And then after that, instead of sending you $50 worth of frozen food, I accidentally send you $100 worth. So you as the influencer don't know how much I'm gonna send you, right? You open every single thing, do your review, eat some of them. And then what happens is later on I come to you and I say, I'm only supposed to give you $50. Can you give me back my $50 worth of food? And then you say, sorry, I opened it already, right? right?
Yeah, that's and not then, an influencer's fault.
Right, and that, I, precisely. Like okay. And then guess what? She asked for a refund. Huh? She asked for a refund for the extra food that she herself mistakenly sent to the influencer.
Oh no.
And the influencer don't want to give to back to her the money. And she's like, I'm going to sue you.
Oh no, it sounds like a very petty thing. It sounds like just a very petty drama.
So, I mean, you think about it, like when I first read it from the business point of view, because she was the aggressor, she posted it first. None of those things were mentioned at all. It just put the influencer in a really bad light. And I actually believed the brand at first when I read it until the influencer came out to clarify it. And that's the same for Wordweed, right? She was one of the first people who actually was posted by Glassdoor. And I saw those. And in my mind, I was just like, I don't know who this Wordweed girl is, but she sounds really unprofessional. And there were multiple submissions about her. I believed it. Honestly, I believed it. I was like, I don't even know who you are. I wouldn't give you any
I mean, when you see over 3 to 5reviews about one person, yes. you start to believe, okay, maybe they have a point here.
Correct.
Because there are so many reviews about the same kind of ethic, right?
But you never know whether it's the same person posting it. Exactly. Right?
That's true. And I mean, then, we don't know what's behind this glass door.
Precisely. And neither do the admins, actually. Yeah. Yeah. So eventually... When I saw what with like 1 hour, she talked about this we had to come up with a 1 hour video just to clarify. This is a poor girl, you know.
Yeah.
And when I saw her clarification, it all became clear to me that it's all the client's fault. It's not her fault at all. And she sounded very, she came up with the receipts and everything, you know. So she was a lot more believable. But I do believe that there is a good amount of people who have seen Glassdoor and they believe it and they would never go and watch the 1 hour video.
Right.
Yeah, because they're just not interested. They rather believe that you're bad.
The easier things.
Do you feel like influencers need to clarify if there is a false review or something that is unfair to them?
I really think
as an influencer, would you recommend them to come forward and say, this is not true?
Well, if it's clearly defamatory, right, I think the better idea is to simply send a lawyer's letter.
Straight up, just straight up bang. Straight
because why are you bothering to fight with this thing? Like, you know, it's like they're clearly not scared and like they want to see you fight. They feel a pleasure in seeing that they pissed you off and that they got to you. It gives them a sense of power because we always seem like these untouchable people, popular and everything up there, right? It's like,
on Instagram, yeah, nice correct. Photos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How so it's easy. Like, wow, I can provoke you. I feel so powerful. Yeah.
I think the worst part of... I think it's always best to not respond. It's like the best form of insult to them to let them know that they don't matter.
But what if it affects your work though? I mean, if clients come and ask you about it, your followers come and ask you, is it true? I guess eventually people do feel like they need to respond.
And I think the ones who really lose out here are the micro-influencers because they really depend on these collaborations. And well, let's have fun and read a few of these bad reviews.
I've been waiting for this moment.
Let's read some bad reviews. All right, okay, let's begin with this one. Influencer with over 300,000 followers on IG even has a team of staff working for her. Exorbitant rates. But when you look at her YouTube views, most of them are struggling to hit even 1K views unless there is a guest. Honestly, so telling. Why place such emphasis on your expensive brand when your content is not even relevant or watched? And you expect clients to pay for that? Don't make me laugh, please. This is so salty.
It is so
salty. This is so salty. It's why? Salty. Oh my God. I mean, it really... like lessens the credibility of this.
Yeah, it does.
You know, I really do want to have a proper debate about whether this influencer Glassdoor
is credible even if it's
credibility.
Yeah. Okay, but at least this one doesn't. It's not personal.
It's not personal, but it's salty. Don't make me laugh.
Yo.
I don't know.
Branded ma.
I don't know, but I just want to say this. You know, sometimes when you pay for somebody's work, right, especially when it comes to an influencer or YouTuber, you're not exactly paying for that one video. You're paying for his or her work over the past few years.
Of
the
course.
Reputation that they have built, the work and, you know, branding. How they reach their branding, everything that they've done over a few years. I think that's what you're really paying for. You're not paying for labor hours. You're not paying for man hours. So people don't really understand
that. What was
that
quote that was very famous for this thing? You're not paying a photographer for like a few seconds of him snapping. You're paying for his experience of so many years to be able to snap it in a few seconds.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Exactly. Yeah. Because,
And anyway, I feel like it's a very unfair thing to say because even if you have 300,000 followers, that could be on Instagram, and your YouTube video can hit 1K view, but it doesn't mean that your Instagram is not influential,
right?
Right? Yeah, and maybe this influencer is just more photo centric rather than video centric. It's possible. And
more aesthetic, maybe.
Yeah,
more aesthetic.
I mean, this really proves the LinkedIn article correct. You know,
yeah, exactly.
You just really have to understand the industry a little bit more. Okay, let's read another one. Who has ever encountered influencers that are super lazy when it comes to paperwork? It drives me crazy that I have to spend weeks, sometimes months, chasing for one invoice. Why should I, as a brand, consistently have to check in with them for their invoices? Shouldn't it be their responsibility as a vendor to be prompt in providing payment details just as they expect us to be prompt with payment? P.S. I think this is a great platform for agencies and clients to know the influencers in the industry better.
I gotta give it to this person.
This one, okay.
I rarely ever send any invoices because it's always done by my managers, right? But if I had to send, there was once I had to send an invoice and I just did not even send it.
I remember the days where I sent invoices. Yeah. I would just dread doing it. You know,
it's paperwork.
Yeah. It's paperwork.
We are creatives. That's not what we
exactly.
like to do.
And
that it's not it's
of
a
course.
Good thing, lah. Yeah.
Yeah, we are creatives. Most influencers are creatives, not business people.
Correct.
And that's why I also feel that sometimes it is essential to have a company represent them.
Yeah.
To do
like
this
Titan?
Thing for them, like Titan, like Ruto Social.
No, we don't represent.
Oh, you don't represent.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, you do the admin stuff for them, right?
Yeah, we create campaigns for them.
Yeah.
Then when we pay them, they still have to invoice us.
Oh,
okay. So they invoice you.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. So sometimes it's better to have someone do it for you. But obviously, the smaller influencers don't have the liberty or the money to do something like that, right?
Yeah.
But I do agree. Sometimes
it's true lah.
Sometimes influencers take the longest time to get to the thing that they have to do.
Which
or
is
send
get payment.
Drop and... so yeah, this is fair. This is a fair review, I would
I think
say. Something
okay.
like this would be fair.
But I just feel that, you know, that's just one way of looking at it. But on the other hand, there are so many clients who are freaking late in paying us.
Yeah.
We don't ever talk about it, do we?
Oh, we do. I've heard a few.
Yeah.
I've heard a few.
No, I mean,
people
like publicly, we don't ever complain, like on a employer client glass door, right? We don't be like,
sure
hey, this
do.
Company never pay me. Okay, some.
I've heard,
okay,
I've
have,
heard,
like, have. But. There are many times where they are like several months late and many times people don't pay.
So the next one, very greedy influencer MS and JA who goes to every single media event and always expect to receive 2 media kits even if it's cosmetics.
Two?
How do you request for 2?
Because they are 2 different people.
What?
Is there something wrong with that?
No, it sounds
Am I missing something?
It sounds like they want 2 each.
Oh, they want 2 each.
Why would what's wrong with having 1? It seems like they are saying 2 each, what?
Okay. Maybe, well, let me continue. Nothing of hers is ever unsponsored because she admitted to mainly do it for the freebies, but her flat lays are always haphazardly thrown together with one-liner caption. PR and media still loves her though, as she is very good at sucking up.
Ooh. Maybelline Sim.
Who is that?
Who?
MS or
Oh, then who's JA?
Don't know. Janice Ang. I don't know. I guess. Anyhow say.
Yeah. What do you think of this?
I mean, if they're really getting 2 of the press kits, I feel like that is a bit unabashed lah.
2 each,
because,
right?
Yeah,
mean?
Because nobody would ever ask for 2. I've never witnessed that before.
Influencer couple.
Oh, so, influencer. Oh, okay.
So maybe they expect to send a couple one. I don't know. It's just very...
Yeah, but
it's
if it's a
so
couple,
confusing.
If you invite 2, then they should get 2. What?
I think they should get 2.
Yeah.
But just on this note, I do know some influencers who just are really into the freebies.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
No, what's wrong with that?
I think the freebies...
I mean, if I post, then I've done my job, what?
Correct. But I feel like when it comes to freebies, right, it's a completely different ballgame than the normal stuff that we are talking about.
Correct.
Because when it's a free or freebies or just a media
PR
gift, right,
kit, yeah.
I don't think there should be high expectations.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
As someone who's giving a gift, I don't think you should expect much back.
Yeah.
And
the way you phrase it sounds like sounds wrong. But I feel like it makes us sound like we are very self-entitled.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. So, but the way
maybe
I think...
Maybe I am self-entitled. But when I get a gift, I don't expect to like have to do something about it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, if you're giving it to me, I feel like there is an unspoken quote here that people don't really seem to understand. Like, even up to today, people still expect that they send me something and they expect a posting or like whatever. So I feel like, okay, firstly, we're talking about events here. When you invite somebody to your event, they would post about your event. They post about whatever you're launching. They say, I'm here at this event today. You know, L'Oreal is launching their new serum. It contains HA or whatever, right? And then that is my job done for you, okay? And the little token that you give me with the press kit, that is your present for me. I don't have to do any fuck all about it, right? So that is one category. And then another one is, hey, Jianhao, I would love for you to review my new bubble tea. Can I send some for you and Starly to try, or like with Debbie, okay? So that I send it to you. The understanding is that it's non-obligatory. Like, you cannot tell me that I have to do an IG story for you or IG post for you, because those are reserved for paying clients.
Exactly. So I think that's where I draw the line, because if somebody sends me something for free and expects me to do a post for them, then that is very unfair to the clients who pay me to post.
Yeah, but the thing is, to the person sending you the item, they think that, of course, everyone thinks that their own brand thing is very like, whoa, good product, worth it, right? So they feel like, how dare you suggest that it's worth nothing.
Right.
Like, but the thing is that, the irony is that the less unabashed you are when it comes to requesting for something, the more I will be willing to post for you.
That's true.
Me, can you do an IG story for me? I'm just going to be, I don't want your product anymore. Correct. It's not worth the value of my IG story.
Yeah.
So like literally yesterday I had a client. So not really a client, I actually never worked with them before, but they emailed me previously. They said, I want to send a press kit to you. It's a slipper brand, okay? So the slippers cost about like $30. So Dash is growing out of his slippers, okay? So I contacted the brand. I said that actually I would love to like get some new slippers, because last time you asked me whether I want some, right? So, you know, I would go and buy them myself, but these slippers are strangely very, very difficult to find online. I tried to buy it myself. I couldn't buy it. And then I was like, would you like to send me some? I'll gladly post for you, right? So I didn't say the second part. I just asked whether they are kin first. And the unspoken word is that, you know, like, I will post for you, lah, duh. I wouldn't just take something, but somehow it's a request one. It's not your own self offer to send me, right? So, in return, they replied and they said, can you do 3 IG stories for me?
Okay. Wow.
Swipe up link, must link our account. I replied and I said, sorry, actually, I didn't consult my manager, so I lied. I just said, my manager said, I can't, I'm so sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, I will just go and buy it myself. Yeah,
so you rejected it because you feel that it's cheaper for you to just buy it than...
It's not about that. It's that I just...
Whatever you do, it's not worth $30.
Yeah, it's like, okay, 3 pairs of slippers last, so $90. But I charged $900 for one IG post. You're going to give me something in value that's worth $2,700, which other people actually pay for, and you will give me $90 in exchange? Come on.
Yeah, that's fair.
Correct. But to somebody who doesn't understand how the industry works, they will be like, you're crazy, yeah. You want to charge $900 for IG story, right?
Yeah,
but other people do pay it. You get what I mean?
It's true. Yeah. Other people do pay it.
And it has proven effective for them. They come
back
for more.
Those are your customers. Precisely. You have to respect them.
Yeah. And I have to make a living as well, right? I cannot keep doing this. Well, you still must swipe up link, must link you, must link that. Well, that's crazy.
I think you made a really good point there, because... this agency, I feel like they did the right thing though by requesting the certain amount of deliverables that they hope from you.
Correct.
And you just said no.
Yeah.
So what I feel like happens very often, which leads to all these bad reviews, is the clients just say, okay, yeah, sure, we'll send it to you, and expect that 3 stories with the swipe up link without even asking for it. And when you feel like maybe you just want to do one, they start saying like, oh, we expected more, but she only did one and she's
down and stuff.
She
thinks
she's the shit, you know? Precisely. Which leads me to the next review. this one, I'm going to say the name.
Okay.
I was once an intern for this PR firm and we managed to engage Jianhao Tan.
Oh, wow.
To do the, I don't know what campaign this is. I really don't know. OPR campaign. He was very expensive and hard to reach out to. Despite the pay we've negotiated for him, we felt he wasn't very effective in promoting it and only posted one post at home for promoting the OPR. But who are we to say? He's an influencer who is popular in Singapore. Like,
if you are paid for one post, obviously you will do one post, right? Yeah. Why would I do 100 posts for you? It's crazy, oh, man, these people.
So I when I read this, I was very confused. Like, not in a bad way. I wasn't angry or defensive. I just felt like, firstly, who is this person?
OPR.
And why add that he's an influencer? But who are we to say he's an influencer who's popular in Singapore? I mean, just stuff like that just really decreases the credibility in your review. You know,
I read it and I was just like, it sounds like bullshit.
My manager was very angry though. She was like, what do you mean hard to reach out to? I reply all your messages. I'm like, chill. I know you reply.
Maybe it's like from very long ago.
Probably.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Because what can it be, though?
Everyone in the office is like, what client is that? What client is that? What campaign is that? Everyone was like, I don't know. Even Tiana himself don't know.
Right.
So it must be pretty old.
Yeah, but I mean, just a rule of thumb, specify your deliverables that you hope and have a contract.
Mm.
And if that influencer doesn't do it, show the contract.
At least it's black and white, you know?
It's just like the work week one, right? Mm-hmm. Like, she talked about how the clients got really angry with her because she wouldn't give a free post that came with she was supposed to do like 3 IG stories or something, she was supposed to do 1 IG post. I cannot remember, but anyway, they asked for her to do a free giveaway post.
Mm.
And she said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to charge you money. And then they're like, okay, well, you fuck you lah. Like, you be short lah, you get what I mean?
Yeah, so that leads me to the next one. We're not talking about the bad reviews anymore. We can go through some good reviews later, but I want to talk about this first.
Good reviews are so freaking lame, please.
Yes, but let's talk about the ethics. Mm.
Yeah.
There was one person who posted and said, I'm a business owner. To the influencers out there reading this page, while it's right to be entitled to be paid for your services and content, just a bit of advice. There is a line when the influencer comes across as overly entitled and calculative. Even if you contracted for a number of posts, sometimes delivering one extra story or post or letting a brand regram you with credits doesn't cost you more than extra 5
fuck
minutes
you
of
la.
Your time. Or cost you anything. But you can learn so much more from recurring business from clients. But can earn so much more recurring business from clients willing to pay more. Also, true referrals when clients think you have a good working attitude and are not calculative. I worked with many influencers over the past 5 to 6 years, and funnily enough, the ones that are successful are normally the least entitled and take each brand brief and seriously go over and abroad to deliver for clients. So the funny thing is, a lot of people actually came out to defend influencers.
Right, I saw that.
And
yeah.
I was shocked because usually it's not something that I see very often for a neutral to come out and say, hey, you sound entitled. But a lot of this just sounds like the business owner's entitled instead.
I love that. I was having so much fun reading that.
Yeah, and even people from the PR industry came and disagreed with this.
Yeah.
And
read out the best one. The one is somebody gave me a dessert, a free dessert thing. Do you have that?
No, I don't. Can we search it up? Do you have
right.
it?
Yeah. Let me search it up.
I remember it. It says, I went to a restaurant and the restaurant gave me a free dessert. Every restaurant that I went to who didn't give me a dessert after that are calculative and stingy.
We actually remember.
Something like that.
It's a good analogy.
Yeah, it is a good example. Yeah, like how dare you? It's so ridiculous.
And someone also said it's someone who doesn't understand what usage rights are.
Yes.
Loading fees.
Loading fees, correct. No. Yeah.
Like we said, you're not paying
it
for
it. And it's very insulting. For it you is. To come and tell me it's worth nothing. Like, it's worth 5 minutes of my time. But you're not buying my time, right? You're buying my popularity, which I built up over 17 years.
Like, how are you 17?
Yeah, so I feel it's like they cannot say shit like that. It's so stupid. Yeah. So dumb.
They sound self-entitled.
Yeah, so I mean, it was just very surprising to me that there are people who came out to defend influencers. Like, what?
And you know that these people who leave the comments who are reading Influencer Glassdoor, they already tend to be biased. Who they don't like influencers in the first place. So it's very shocking to see. There's still common sense in people. Some hope.
That's nice. That's nice.
That's nice.
Faith in humanity slightly restored.
Yeah.
Let's go through the good reviews.
Oh, yes.
The cringy good reviews.
Okay.
They really just sound like it's written by
themselves. Wait, hold up. Okay.
Oh, I have one about me too.
There's one about you?
Yeah, about some stupid media lunch that I went to or something.
Where are the good reviews? Wow, there's so many here. Alright. So Gemma Wei is amazing to work with. Engage her for some postings and she made the extra effort to understand what the event we were engaging her for was about before writing about it. The images she produced surpassed our expectations as well. And she even gave us suggestions. She genuinely seems like a great person.
That's nice.
I believe that. Yeah, I believe that. I believe that. Gemma's nice. Really like that. There's but another bad Gemma one, what? You see the bad Gemma one? Actually, I went to ask her about it.
Ooh.
Yeah, because that one said that she was at a wedding. Uh-huh. And she was so she was the host, okay. The MC of the wedding.
Right.
It was an influencer's wedding. So I'm pretty sure it was Melissa Cole's wedding.
Uh-huh.
But Gemma has hosted a few weddings. And okay. She said that during the wedding, the person said, I am a client who sponsored something in the wedding. And I asked Gemma to say out, like, let's say, flowers by XXX company, right? So Gemma was supposed to say, oh, thanks to XXX company for the beautiful flowers tonight here. Yeah. And they asked the bride first. The bride said okay, and they told Gemma that the bride said okay. She was supposed to read out this thing, and she did not read it out. And then they said that Gemma is a diva, and like blah blah blah. She wasn't even there as an influencer. She was there as an MC for her friend's wedding. Why is she required to work for you? You're not a freaking client, are you? This is so ridiculous, right? And then I'm just like, how can you post this kind of thing that you're talking about her work ethics? She was not working for Melissa. She was just MCing as a friend. And then after I asked her, like, what, do you remember this thing? She's like, honestly, I don't remember any of it. But I think that maybe as an MC,
as a host, she just left.
You're just busy. You know, you have 101 things to take care of.
Yeah.
And you're anxious. You got stage fright. And then you have to handle this stupid random person asking you to talk about their brand, which is so unimportant anyway to them. It's like, oh, geez.
I mean, weddings are really tricky, I have to say. You know, last year, we had quite a few sponsors for our wedding.
Mm.
And even until now, I still owe them some posts.
Oh, no.
Like, I wasn't able to reach all the deliverables because I was just running everywhere. I didn't have time to take photos and stuff. So until now, I still like owe them some stuff. But they've been really kind and understanding. But,
your daughter already born, dude.
Yeah. No, but the thing about working with these type of people, you often build a long term relationship, and maybe after wedding, you have a birthday party, you have another event.
I really feel that for influencers, like you can see how many times a client works with them. It can be just like it's not a one-time campaign or like occasion. Like sometimes you will see there are many return ads, and I feel like that's a testimonial of how well they work, right? Because if the ads don't work, the clients will never come back.
Why would they come back? Why would they come back?
Correct. Or if you're difficult, they will never want to work with you again.
And that's a better testimonial than any of these, actually.
Correct.
The fact that someone is willing to come back and pay you money for something that you've already worked with them on before.
That's right. Right. So
another good review do we have?
So like, you know, because everything is anonymous, right? You can put very bad reviews. You can also put very good reviews.
Okay.
Sometimes too good to be true, okay?
Too good to be true.
Tomorrow I help you out. Daniel Ron's cock is super big.
Can we get someone to write something nice about Dan? You
know, okay. But before I start, right? I don't want to discredit the influencer that's involved in this post. And also as an influencer, everyone wants to be talked about, just to be fair.
What?
Every influencer wants to be talked about.
In case it's real.
What do you mean everyone wants to be talked about?
It's true. What influencers want is to be talked about, correct?
Yeah.
But not to discredit the influencer involved in this tweet or this post. Okay. Heads over heel was free and easy to work with. Even though we only required one IG post in return, she would still post us and tag us, shout out time to time. She gave more than we paid for. Really grateful.
Wait, what? Wait, let me see. Free what? Free? Oh, that means it's a barter trade, right? Free.
So more than they asked.
This is a terrible review. It's not a good review. You know why? You're telling everyone you're a free prostitute, dude. Don't need to pay. Free one. Not only give you one post, she give you a lot.
Yeah, that doesn't work in her favor,
dude,
actually.
Yeah, it's terrible.
There's one more one more very good, possibly fake review. I just saw, where was it?
Why would you say that is not genuine though? I feel like that may be a real genuine.
Yeah, I think it sounds genuine. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, maybe. Okay. It's just one of those, like, maybe give her a free lunch and then she's like, oh yeah, this lunch very good.
Wait, did I screen? I think I screenshotted it. Hold on.
You know, I feel like it is natural for smaller influencers, micro influencers, to have a good relationship with the brand, because I mean, I can imagine for maybe the bigger ones, right? They would have maybe 12 to 15 campaigns per month, and you can only spend this amount of time working on that campaign aside from every other thing that you're doing on YouTube or content, right? Whereas a smaller influencer may not get as many campaigns as the bigger ones. Mm. So they have a lot of time
to spend
and they can spend more effort and more time to communicate with the client, see what they like, see what they don't like, make friends a little bit.
True.
And I genuinely feel that way because when I was smaller, that's the kind of connection that I had with my clients. Mm. But these days, I really just leave it to my management.
Correct. And I think that the big ones, they have managers. So it's a lot more difficult to build that kind of rapport.
And I do realize that even though having a manager does help with making the process smoother and more professional, sometimes it's nice to... Just talk to the client because they also want to talk to you.
More personal touch.
True.
All right. So this one, actually, to me, I actually tickled my throat a bit while reading this, okay? So John Chua from Real Talk is a super cool human. He's not the most polished, but he's someone who can connect with people really well and tries really hard.
He's a great guy.
He is a great guy. With him, you get belief in the brand, in the cause, and a genuine reaction. Right. Not so much the picture-perfect post, which to me is fine. Both my clients and my team liked working with him. No regrets.
I feel like that's a low-key way of saying he's ugly.
Indirectly saying he's ugly and...
No picture
I mean, if you're going to compliment someone, just say the nice stuff. What's with the... He's good, but maybe not so good. But he's good, but maybe he's...
But would a client write things like this? You know,
I think it's okay. It's possible.
Yeah. The fact that they put no regrets at the end.
Maybe they're just trying to be cute. Trying to be cute.
Boomers. Just trying to be boomers. I don't know. I can't take that.
Let's go for one more. It's so fun reading this. Let's go for one last positive review.
This is bad. This is bad.
I'm coming to see
a lot of bad.
There's a lot of bad reviews.